Today is February 23rd, 2010. This is the Harry Thomas Show Week in Review. I'm your host, Harry Thomas. The website is located at harrythomas.info, and we are back exposing the New World Order. And we got lots of stuff to cover, including new false flag events and Joe Stack. What's happening with that? We'll weigh in there. We got Big Brother developments and everything else. And if you don't know what the New World Order is, it's a group of elitist eugenicists, basically, that want to control the planet like a dictatorship and have everybody microchipped, cataloged, databased, processed, dumbed down, and a majority eliminated off of this planet in their quest for the New World Order, a one-world government. And I'd like to draw your attention over to fearlessbroadcasting.info. And Fearless Broadcasting is brought to you by members of 12160.org, the best anti-New World Order social network out there on the internet. And there's a lot of shows going on over there at Fearless Broadcasting, including Esoterica. And I finally was able to catch up on a few shows, and I gotta say, man, this is a great show. I am definitely a listener. Shadow Shensi and Citizen X over there, Williams over there doing the sound. They're doing a great job, and they have a call-in. You can call in there. There's a number that you can call in. All the information is at 12160.org and fearlessbroadcasting.info. And what they're doing, I really like it. You know, they're talking about mind control. You know, they talked about programmed assassins. And this stuff is real. This stuff really happens. This is part of the New World Order agenda. You know, and they get into all kinds of symbolism. Because the Illuminati, they relish symbolism. I mean, it's a big part of their program, you know what I mean? And it's very, very important to know your enemy. And I really like what them guys are doing over there with that show, Esoterica. You know, and they're really getting into a lot of the meat and potatoes, you know. And there's really a lot of good shows over there at Fearless Broadcasting and on 12160.org. And you got William doing a great job over there on Simple Christianity. And you got a Canadian perspective in Northern Front. You got a little show that I do, Life on the Outside. And I have to say, there hasn't been one put out recently. I did a whole one, and somehow the sound on the camera was a total failure. I have to find time to redo it. But I had a whole one done on dumbing down of societies. And I'm going to have to redo that one because there was no sound in the final product. It was kind of disheartening. But if you haven't checked out any of them, you can find it at harrythomas.info in the Life on the Outside archives. I've done a whole bunch of other ones that are really good. It's timeless information, stuff people really need to understand and see. And if you like that, you know, check that out. And of course, on Saturday night, they got the round table open discussion. You got Fearless Broadcasting News going on over there. And when I'm not doing a show, you might find some good information I'm doing over there at Fearless Broadcasting News. For people who want an RSS podcast feed that you're on the go, you want to check it out, check out fearlessbroadcasting.podomatic.com. That's fearlessbroadcasting.podomatic.com, and there's all kinds of stuff over there that you can get. You can download the shows and everything else. And I'd really say, you know, check it out, because there's a lot going on over there at 12160.org. Now, I'm going to get into this because I've gotten a few emails. I've gotten people wanting to know, why do I go after Glenn Beck and I don't go after Alex Jones? And I haven't covered this, and I'll tell you what. And the reason why is because it's kind of pointless. It really advances nothing in our movement. I'm going to spend a little bit of time on here, and I'm going to say, for instance, you know, the reason why I don't go after Alex Jones, even though some people say that he's a Vatican gatekeeper, and some people say he's a Zionist gatekeeper, and this and that, and you know, and we all question sometimes what each other in this movement is doing. When you don't agree with something, you know, I know I've been, I've fell victim of that mindset in the past where, you know, if I just don't like what somebody's doing, You know, all of a sudden, you know, maybe they're a gatekeeper or something, or I, somebody doesn't like what I'm doing, I'm a gatekeeper and stuff, you know? And, you know, and a perfect example is this was Alex Jones and his Obama poster campaign, the Joker poster. I didn't agree with that at all. This is the first time you've heard me mention it, and that's because I thought it was self-promotion. I think it was giving the movement a bad name, kind of like promoting vandalism and stuff, and I didn't think it was going to be very effective. And another area that really, really ticked me off was the 21 questions with the president, Charlie Sheen, and how that was portrayed as a real event in the in the beginning. And, you know, the whole thing was just kind of cheesy, and it just happened to come when Sheen's show was premiering again in the new fall season. But anyway, you know, but we all have our things, and a lot of that is contributed to us just being human beings. But I'll tell you what, there's one thing that I have not heard Alex Jones do that Glenn Beck does a lot. And Glenn Beck is a CIA asset. He's a Project Mockingbird. And I'll tell you what, this guy was for the banker bailout. At key points, he talks like he's a real patriot and all. And, you know, he's all for the Constitution and this and that. And he likes to refer to the Founding Fathers and refer to himself as the Founding Fathers and everything else when the guy is really a CIA asset under this Project Mockingbird. And this here, I know, he's always steering people wrong, or the herd, so to say, his flock, during key areas during globalism. And one of, you know, examples of this is he was for the banker bailout. And he's always talking about these taxes, you know, in order to pay these bankers, this interest, you know, on this debt that we keep racking up. You know, he's demonized Ron Paul several times. He blacked him out. He was part of the blackout when Ron Paul was on the height of his rise during the presidential campaign, when he had a lot of momentum and a lot of grassroots support behind him. You know, and he did the same thing recently to Deborah Medina. He put her and other people who were named in MIAC documents and stuff, MIAC reports. If you don't know what that is, check out the documents section over at harrythomas.info. I've got them all there. Virginia Fusion reports, stuff out of DOD, everything else. And he pointed to these people and said, they're a threat to America. And what he's talking about is the real Tea Party movement, the original one, not the one that Glenn Beck hijacked and his operatives have hijacked now. I'm talking about the true Patriot movement, the true Tea Party movement that is all for the Constitution, against the wars, against these bankers. You know, and another thing, he supported the official 9/11 story. He's demonized 9/11 truth, which is almost even worse. And then with this FEMA camp issue, he brings on James Meggs. James Meggs from Popular Mechanics, owned by Hearst Publishing, which the phrase yellow journalism was coined after. And they've done a lot to demonize 9/11 truth and put out disinformation. Coming straight from the elite criminals that perpetrated the crimes, you know, and he promotes a false right-left agenda, and it keeps everybody at odds with each other, you know, always pointing to this progressive movement, you know what I'm saying? I have not heard Alex Jones do any of that stuff, and if I ever do, I will be pointing out Alex Jones as Project Mockingbird right along with Glenn Beck. But I have not heard Alex Jones doing that. And I'm going to have to tell you, a lot of people, you know, I have seen ego problems at times. That's a human thing, you know. You know, sometimes people's heads get bigger than their britches. You know what I mean? And, you know, I don't envy Alex Jones' position at all. He is a target of the New World Order, in my opinion. A lot of people have been woken up because of the great staff that he has over there at InfoWars and PrisonPlanet.com, which is an excellent source for information. Every time that I check out their information, it's always right on the money. It can be backed up, you know, and they do their own backing up, you know. Now, the one thing I do disagree with a lot of people that say is, well, you know, when he makes does questionable things, and people are always quick to say, well, he's only human, you know, But, you know, in a position that this guy's in, as being in the spotlight of the Patriot movement, so to speak, the truth movement, you know, there is a responsibility that goes along with that. You can't just say oops, you know, all the time. I mean, don't we get that enough? You know, but I definitely do not envy his position. But where I've seen people who have actually come after and attacked him are actually people who have a problem with his style. And examples of this are Lisa and Victor Thorne over there at Wing TV, William Cooper, who, in my opinion, is an excellent patriot. He's deceased now. But I think that these people had more of a problem with his style, his way of doing things. And maybe Mr. Cooper did go even farther out. And I'll tell you what, I was watching the work that they were doing, Lisa and Victor, over at Wing TV when they first started doing video stuff in like 2004. Because there was no YouTube back then and all that, remember? You know, we were still trying to mail things, DVDs and stuff, to people. And trying to hook people up with information. And I've watched these people, and I'll tell you what, I think these people were part of COINTELPRO. Even though they disappeared now, nobody sees them now. You don't hear hide or hair of them anymore. And I think they were just here for their reason of COINTELPRO to cause dissension and to get people worked up and cause controversy, to divide. Because like I said, a million times before, the New World Order agenda is to divide and conquer us. But yeah, I think them people over there at Wing TV were part of COINTELPRO, and I've suspected a lot of others throughout the years. You know, but like I said, when we disagree with each other, we're quick to jump, you know, and say, point fingers at people and say, hey. But everybody in this movement has a finger pointed to them at one point or another. And if we're all, you know, part of some kind of gatekeeping or something, then we have no movement. You know what I'm saying? We have no movement. And that's why I think it's important to point out the ones that are obvious, like Glenn Beck and Bill O'Reilly and these Keith Olbermann and these other ones. You know, we got to keep things focused, you know, and like I said, until I see this kind of behavior where Alex Jones is supporting the official 9/11 story, you know, demonizing Ron Paul and all that, then, you know, I don't have a problem with what's going on. I think the writers over there at Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com are exceptional. They're, you know, in their writings, in their research, you know, Paul Joseph Watson, Steve Watson, all the great writers over there, Kurt Nimmo, you know, and they've gotten a lot of new ones these days, too, that are bringing even broader perspectives to the articles over there. And I'll tell you what, you know, I don't have a problem with that. The websites are really cool and they're well-staffed, and I've been a supporter of Prison Planet TV since their inception, you know. And we all get ticked off at times and frustrated in this movement, you know. But we got to be careful. We can't be attacking ourselves either. And that's why I don't, you know, even get involved in them discussions anymore. I try not to promote the ideas at all. If I don't like something that somebody else is doing, I just don't talk about it. I just don't promote it. And like I said, that poster, that Joker poster thing, and, you know, and I did support the Charlie Sheen 21 questions, you know, and I did that because, you know, I want 9/11 truth to get out there. And if there was any, just a slight possibility that that thing was going to work, I wanted to be behind it, you know, but I knew that it was a failed idea from the moment I seen it. But, you know, this is what we get from the mainstream of media, is they want us fighting amongst ourselves while they're running off to the bank, you know, and they put their co-ops, their COINTELPRO in everywhere you see. So we do have to be aware of this, and we do have to, you know, understand that this could be a threat to our community. But Glenn Beck, in my opinion, has a target on his head. He's an operative for the New World Order. And then I judge a person by not what they're saying, but by their actions. And he's proved by his actions time and time again that he is a Benedict Arnold. He is a threat to the Patriot movement. Nobody is beyond being pointed out. But like I said, at this point, there's no need. There's excellent, good, true information coming out of InfoWars, PrisonPlanet.com, and I see no productive value in trying to attack them people over there at all. You know, some of their staff is actually over in England, so you can get a good view from the UK. You know, there's a lot of regular mainstream press being posted over there from all around the world. You know, stuff that you're not going to see in the controlled mainstream media. And here's one come out of Make It 8A, February 10, 2010. Radical mainstream media, a front for more war and an answer for the confused. We discussed the Glenn Beck program and wondered why we are not seeing Beck discuss all issues pertinent to the true state of the union. Beck continues to provide ad nauseum amounts of discussion on the evils of the progressive movement and the sinister actions of the evil dictators throughout history, but stops short of discussion on the possibility of the same evils could be conveyed upon the people of America. Remember Mao and Hitler, genocide and the terror they rained on their own people. Yes, Glenn Beck is a quick to show us all the evils in an old and faraway lands, but he refuses to accept that false flag terror could happen in the USA. At least, that's his take so far. And the perfect example of that was what I was just talking about when he had James Meigs from Popular Mechanics come on debunking the FEMA camps, which was a total ridiculous fraud of a show, you know? You know, and then you see the videos of him, you know, falsely crying where they're putting stuff in his eyes, and he's crying like he's crying for America. You know, this is the same crap that we get everywhere with that I've talked about over the years, that they're just pulling on the heartstrings of America because they know most Americans are good people. Most people don't go around participating in evil. That's the bottom line. Normal people don't. This article goes on, and this is a good article. It says, in criticizing the omission of the pictures of the Tea Party movement in the 2009 Time Year in Pictures, Beck also stressed the need for open debate. That is, as long as the debate is not involving the many unanswered questions that remain about 9/11. This has left us wondering why not, and as a result, is there something not quite complete in his argument or his message? Now, the FCC has set a rule that does not allow the discussion of false flag terror, and that there's no discussion about the possibility of the government of the United States could be involved in creating terror on its own people. All of the news agencies have been ordered by the FCC to omit any discussion of 9/11 from their programming. The odd thing is how they all attack anyone who mentions it in the context of a conspiracy, especially Fox News. That's extremely suspicious and unorthodox for any real news agency to do. But we all know, if you know the history of Fox News, they're not a real news agency. They were put in place by the CIA and the Pentagon, Department of Defense and stuff to control information. Says here, a huge and tragic mark on the history. 9/11 has rocked the very foundation of the Union. The Patriot Act was affected, and the invasion of Iraq had its justification. Despite securing oil fields that the elusive weapons of mass destruction, there were nowhere to be found. Beck knows about climate change legislation and global government, but their issues have been shelved. Why? Is he limited in his ability to bring the truth because of FCC guidelines? Perhaps. But what are the other possibilities? The other possibilities, like I said, this is a project in place by intelligence to control information. And by controlling information, you're controlling people. See, that's why I can say whatever I want. I'm under no syndicated rules. I'm under no FCC. You know what I'm saying? I am just practicing my freedom of speech. What if Beck, Palin, and Fox News had been given permission to give the appearance of going against the establishment, all the while diverting people from the true Tea Party movement and corralling them to the new Republican Party, those Republicans that profess that they now see the same light as Beck and Palin and understand the Tea Partiers' concerns? And if that is the case, what would be the best way to fool those people quickly, becoming confused about the current state of the country? And they're unwilling to take the big step to be deemed a conspiracy theorist. That's why that you hear that talk a lot, because they want to put a bad connotation on that conspiracy theorist. And most people, when you say conspiracy, period, the first thing that pops in their head is theory. You know, after all, those nasty truthers are violent and demented, according to Glenn Beck. Wouldn't want to become one of those people now, would we? Beck would tell you not to, that's for sure. Forget open debate and discussion on that point. No way. It says here, if we are to listen to Glenn Beck, the Tea Partiers will be sold the new improved Republican Party endorsed by the war-loving Sarah Palin, and the real issue of world government will be averted. And that's really what the whole point of this is to divert people from the real issue. The real issue is the new world order and their push for a world government. 9/11 remains the smoking gun and has affected the means for the ultimate agenda against the people of America. The Patriot Act and false flag terror serving to further strip any remaining rights of the people. The real censorship is in discussion of false flag terror and reporting war protests. Now, this is very true. When I was doing a Life on the Outside episode that was called Government-Sponsored Terrorism, you try to Google them terms, you will not find any information about it. You'll find no results. And it's very funny because I kept trying to upload with false flag government-sponsored terror, and you know, nothing was being approved anywhere, on YouTube, MySpace, anywhere. It was all flagged. You know, it's false flag government terrorism is our biggest threat right now because that's what they're pushing. And, you know, we've had example after example after example of this throughout history, including current events right now. They are pushing hard. We've got false flag stuff on internet censorship and everything else. You know, but to get back here, it says here, Beck has failed to put the pieces together on climate change, 9/11, and the setting up of the world government. He is fixated on progressivism and has tunnel vision to its attack on America. By doing so, he does not pose a threat to the global elite. He won't be getting that phone to ring as he has his followers hoping. You know, so this is what I'm saying. He's promoting that left-right fraud, you know, and there is a war on for your mind. Project Mockingbird, and these are what happens. Another one is Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly supports gun confiscation during weather emergencies. Bill O'Reilly, and this come out of PrisonPlanet.com. Bill O'Reilly interviewed the founder of the Oath Keepers, and during the discussion, O'Reilly supported gun confiscation during hurricanes. He told the Oath Keeper that his views on the Second Amendment was extreme. I mean, listen to this.
So, full members in the Oath Keepers have to have a military or police background. Now, I'm going to read you something from your website.
Or firefighters.
We will not obey unconstitutional and thus illegal and immoral orders, such as orders to disarm the American people or place them under martial law. Well, who's going to try to disarm people and place them under martial law? I mean, why would that even be something you would be discussing?
Well, it happened as recently as Katrina. You probably have seen the videos there of an old lady being tackled in her kitchen and disarmed of her revolver, and there was house-to-house searches for firearms, and you had the police chief declaring that no one would be allowed to have weapons, we're going to take all the guns, and they did. So they disarmed Americans over some bad weather, as though the bad weather suspended the Second Amendment. So that's the most recent example.
All right, but it was a little bit more than that. Happens. I mean, the local authorities in New Orleans could not control what was going on in the city, and you had looters who were armed going in and stealing things, and this directive was...
It wasn't just looters they were disarming. They disarmed average American people, just average American
citizens. No, they had disarmed everybody. They basically said, there's not going to be any guns in the city, and we're going to take them all because we're in a state of emergency. But that's after a hurricane wipes out the city, so I'm not sure. But let me ask you this.
Where's that in the Constitution, though? It says that bad weather suspends the Constitution.
It's not a matter of bad weather. It's a matter of can't control the city. If a mayor of a city, or a governor of a state has a state of emergency, all right? And you hear that all the time. We're going to put a state of emergency here. And we have a city that's out of control like we had in the 60s, and you remember some of those riots, I'm sure. And they say, you know, we're going to impose a curfew. You can't go out after 11 o'clock. You can't have a gun out in public. You can't do this. You can't assemble. And, you know, because we have a out of control situation, you're telling me that you're going to tell your people not to obey those laws?
I would say that disarming an average law-abiding citizen blanket like that.
No state of emergency. Now, I'm just saying, just talking state of emergency.
Okay, so you call it state of emergency. Call it what you want. It's still unconstitutional.
That's a pretty extreme position. All right, let me.
You know, and that's exactly what, you know, he said. You know, and O'Reilly's another mockingbird tool, okay? O'Reilly allowed a Southern Poverty Law Center stooge to demonize the Oath Keepers as violent extremists. And this is the same stuff that we've seen coming out of the MIAC report, the Department of Homeland Security, right-wing extremism report. It's just there was a whole bunch of them, stuff coming out of DOD. And what they're saying is people who talk about the Constitution, Ron Paul, talk about freedom, speak against the UN or world government or a new world order are all domestic terrorists. And that's what's going on here, is they are setting the mind control agenda so that when they put up their false flag at Taft's, they could blame it on the new enemy, which is going to be right here at home. And that's why they want to cover up the FEMA camps that are being built and the technology and the fact that they don't even really need to build anything. The structure is all in place. We've been operating under martial law for a very long time, and it doesn't seem like it's going to change. And it seems like they are just, you know, pushing the people. They want violence. They want outbreak of civil disarrest. You know, and I want to refer to the Fearless Broadcasting News report that was done. Internet is under attack. You know, there was a lot of stuff that I covered during that. That was in between shows. If you didn't see that, check that out over at fearlessbroadcasting.podomatic.com. Or the one and all... to all information for Fearless Broadcasting, no matter what it is, RSS feeds, the different shows, whatever, fearlessbroadcasting.info. And they are using a series of cyber false flag attacks to come after the internet and shut that down. And this one came out, Kurt Nimmo wrote, February 20th, 2010 at Infowars.com. CNN broadcasts major cyber war game propaganda. CNN rolled out slick propaganda presentation this evening and called it Cyber Shockwave. And it posts a cyber attack on the United States. CNN will air a two-hour production, We Were Warned, Cyber Shockwave, based upon exclusive television access to a national security cyber war game scenario. I mean, how should the government deal with the threat? Federalize the National Guard to deal with unruly mobs freaking out over the loss of electricity. Nationalize utility companies so that the NSA and the government get electricity. The participants also recommend new powers to be granted to the president. Does this sound familiar? Not surprisingly, they declare that the president has the authority to take unprecedented action against the states and the private sector under the Constitution. Now, you see what I mean here? The guns have turned on us. We're always the enemy. As far as the federal government's concerned, everything that they do in opposition to any kind of problem that they scenario, that their scenario may face, we are the ones that are the problem. We're the ones that need to be controlled. We're the threat. On February 4th, the House overwhelmingly passed the Cybersecurity Enhancement Act, H.R. 4061, a bill that requires the Obama administration to conduct an agency-by-agency assessment of cybersecurity workforce skills and establishes a scholarship program for undergraduate and graduate students who agree to work as cybersecurity specialists for the government after graduation, according to New York Times. The bill represents yet another intrusion into the private sector by the Obama administration and Congress. What this means is you get out of, you get a scholarship program. They just pay for your training on how to be part of the snitch society. You know what I'm saying? You get out and you go and spy on people on cyber. See if they're writing anything on their Facebook or their MySpace or whatever, you know. It could get even worse. I mean, who knows what information they're collecting? You know, when you're speaking out politically, they're going to come after you and shut you down, especially with these new laws that they're going to want to be putting in for the Chinese-style, like, Internet, too. It says here, insiders, neocons plan simulated cyber attack. The sponsors of the event include companies with financial stakes in the future of cyber defense. General Dynamics is one, but also companies whose transactions are the lifeblood of the American economy, those who want to foster a great sense of urgency among the public and policymakers. In other words, a handful of well-placed corporations stand to make a fortune on the prospect of a cyber attack. In addition, a message will be sent to the Senate warning that if it should pass cybersecurity legislation, a 2009 Senate bill would give Obama the authority to shut down the Internet. The BPC directors hail from Lockheed Martin, L3 Communications, a spook merchant, J.P. Morgan Securities, and the Rockefeller-connected Aspen Institute. The BPC, which is the Bipartisan Policy Center, their effort to scare the American people and Congress into accepting the unlikely threat of cyber enemies taking down the country is part of an ignoble tradition consisting primarily of frightening taxpayers out of their hard-earned dollars. Instead of Osama bin Laden and the CIA-created Al-Qaeda, this time around the culprits are Russia and China. Now you see where we're heading here. You see where this is going here. If you've been following the show, you know, you'll see that I've talked about this time and time again, this slow, incremental setup of this Internet takeover. This article goes on to say, comments made by Senator Jay Rockefeller, the great-grandson of John D. Rockefeller, nephew of banker David Rockefeller, and former Senate Intelligence Committee chairman, Rockefeller said the Internet represents a serious threat to national security. Rockefeller was not alone in this assessment. His belief that the Internet is the number one national hazard to national security is shared by the former Director of National Intelligence, Mike McConnell, and Obama's current Director, Admiral Dennis C. Blair. And he said, quote, it really almost makes you ask the question, would it have been better if we have never invented the Internet? And that's what Rockefeller said. Oh, man. You know what I mean? And the thing is, right here is another example. It doesn't matter left, right. They're all working for these same bankers, these same entities. Now, Marvel apologizes for calling Tea Party movement racist. You know, and they want to demonize this, the Patriot movement. I mean, in 1995, I reported a Bilderberg group said that the number one threat to their global plan, the new world of the for the new world order, is what'd they say? Christian patriots, you know, and they were talking about ones on GCN and various shortwave channels that played different patriot shows. So anyway, Yahoo News, they've reported Marvel apologizes for calling the Tea Party movement racist, which is, like I said, programming that we've seen on television that they have their paid actors on there on news programs calling Tea Party people racist. And what, you know, Janine Garofalo and others were saying this. Captain America has taken on the Tea Party movement in a storyline about investigating white supremacists. Issue 602 of the comic features Captain America investigating a right-wing anti-government militia group called the Watchdogs, hoping to infiltrate the group. Captain America and his African-American sidekick, the Falcon, observe a anti-tax protest from a rooftop. The protesters are depicted in all white and carry signs adorned with slogans almost identical to those seen in Tea Party rallies like teabag libs before they teabag you and stop the socialists. Now, see when this is coming out. We're coming up on at tax day, and you're going to see a lot of this rhetoric again. You're going to see them wanting to link it to the racism. Because, you know, they planted them seeds a year ago in your brains when they were doing all this propaganda before. And here we are, we're coming up on tea time again, and you can smell it in the air. Smell it in the air. And, you know, I was talking about false flag events, and one of the ones that we've seen recently was the one on Christmas Day, where the Mossad allowed this guy, this underwear bomber, this false flag event. The Mossad allowed him on in Amsterdam. The FBI allowed him on the plane here in Detroit. He was escorted by an FBI agent. I've done reports on that. You can check them out in the archive. But here it goes. NPR reported Patsy accused Christmas bomber listened to music and slept. A Michigan college student who sat next to the underwear bomber on Detroit bound flight on Christmas Day says the accused terrorist actions suggested he was in over his head. Jay Howard says that he mostly slept and listened to music during the flight and seemed surprised when asked about the smoke that apparently came from under his blanket. Like I said, check out the reports. Total false flag event. I'm calling it the way I see it. It's got the same MO as all the other ones. And they're pushing for the war in Yemen, an increase against Al-Qaeda, chasing this invisible Al-Qaeda, these naked body scanners. And here's another one here. The naked images can't be printed. Leaked government documents as well as actual printouts prove that the naked scanner devices can save and distribute the images. And this is what happened. Obama's already passed the money. They're putting in all over for major airports for these naked body scanners. Now, this shows genitalia. It shows penis size. It shows whether or not you've been had a piercing. If you've got pubic hair, what it's shaved like. The size of your nipples. The placement of your nipples. Everything. The size of everything. You know? Which testicle hangs farther than the other. You know, my point is it's very intrusive. And there was a some kind of celebrity that they took his pictures and were printing them out and passing them around, the TSA. And this here report basically says he throws airports denial that Indian film star naked body scanner images were printed and circulated by airport staff, says that the devices have no capability to print. But leaked government documents say that X-ray back scatter machines do have the option to store and send images, as well as actual images of the printouts that are freely available on the internet. So yeah, they can take them and send them out. Don't let these people fool you. And right now, the TSA is taking hand swabs from people to detect explosive debris. You know, but what else does this, you know, how far does this go? Does it detect drugs, debris from drugs? Can it tell if somebody is intoxicated? Can it be used as a form of DNA collection or even doing a DNA check right there on the computer? You know, and the TSA has been very, very abusive in the past, no doubt at all. Got to keep an eye on them. They're doing a lot of stuff at these areas. At this point, I'll tell you what, I can't think of any place that I would like to go to or need to go to where I can't drive to. I'm not even into it. And we're getting into now this latest event that happened in Austin, Texas. And this comes out, attack in Austin, outraged lone wolf or a false flag op. It is less easy to dismiss Jonathan Capehart, a blogger for the CIA's favorite newspaper and cherished Operation Mockingbird asset, The Washington Post. And remember, the New York Times and The Washington Post and other publications from around the world attend these Bilderberg meetings, and they've taken a sworn oath of silence against reporting on their plans for the one world government, the New World Order. And this is very bad stuff. It's here. It says here, I am struck by how Joe Stack's alienation is similar to that we're hearing from the extreme elements of the Tea Party movement. So right off the bat here, we're seeing a connection right to the Tea Party movement, which makes me very, very suspicious right out of the get-go. And then how they always want to bring Timothy McVeigh in. They always want to compare people to Timothy McVeigh. When McVeigh was more than disgruntled, he was a government agent, you know, and he was. He was a CIA asset. You know, Oklahoma City was an inside job. If you haven't done any research on that, check it out for yourself. It's an absolute positive inside job. I haven't read the manifesto of this Joe Stack personally, but I had heard a part of it being read on Esoterica over on 12160.org. And from what I heard, you know, it's nothing any different than what the Unabomber or any of these other manifestos, you know. In further review, I guarantee you, you'd find a lot of talking points similar as what's being pushed on the mainstream media of CNN and Fox and all them, and what's being put out in these documents to law enforcement coming out of DHS. Says here, it is possible he was set up or possibly killed and put in remote-controlled plane that was directed into the Echelon office complex that houses IRS offices in Austin, considering government complicity in numerous terrorist events, including the documented false flag event of September 11, 2001, and the obvious government operation in Oklahoma City, there is a distinct possibility that this could happen. And look at that, the Echelon office, where Echelon is part of the DARPA Big Brother system that they're implementing, a government program. Isn't it funny in this Orwell world, this 1984 George Orwell world we're living in? Says here, source, FBI knew Austin attack was coming. Dallas office dispatched agents yesterday to be on the ground in Austin. So here, let's see here. Paul Joseph Watson reported this. A trusted source has told the office that FBI knew Austin was going to be attacked and had dispatched officers from its Dallas headquarters yesterday afternoon to be in place for today's incident. And we've seen this on 9/11. This is the same MO. The source claims that the confidential memo was circulated yesterday detailing that a building in Austin was going to be the target of an attack today. He was told this by an informant who works in the Dallas FBI office. Four FBI agents hurriedly left the Dallas office yesterday to be ready and on the scene for the aftermath of the incident, according to the informant, who was shaken when he saw events unfolding today and put two and two together. A separate witness told KXAN News that there were hazmat teams and fire trucks in place across the street before the plane struck the building. So obviously there was some inside information here about this. They had already emergency teams and stuff on the site. We're just waiting for it to happen. They're dispatching FBI. Whether the attack was the work of a lone individual or part of a larger setup, the aftermath is being exploited to the full by the corporate media and people like Glenn Beck, who are blaming the incident on constitutionalists and the liberty movement, implying that anyone who shares any of the grievances outlined in Stack's lengthy manifesto are also intent on crashing planes into buildings. See the propaganda and the rhetoric? You can't be taken in by this Glenn Beck. He's a shill. He's a sham. He's a fraud. He is an enemy of the Republic. And don't forget that. And don't forget to not be afraid to tell other people that. Says here, of course, the previous stage terror attack, the Christmas Day underwear bomber incident, was proven to be a setup, and the authorities repeatedly had to change their cover story after eyewitness Kurt Haskell, who was initially derided by the media, was eventually proven right in the fact that the bomber was allowed to board Flight 253 by order of the State Department. Oh my God, here. Says here, host of Joe Stack's manifesto site deletes the claim that the FBI asked for its removal. This was reported by the Business Insider. The strange story of Joe Stack's anti-IRS manifesto. And again here, the IRS. And we're coming up on tax day again. You know what I'm saying? Updated hours before he crashed his plane in the IRS offices in Austin, Texas. Killing one continues. Well, I guess it would be killing two. I guess a secretary was killed, and he was apparently or claimed to have been killed. So the hosting company of Stack Site said took down the page because what they said was an FBI request. You know, and anyway, they can easily plant anything on, you know, something like this on anybody's Facebook page, website, anything, you know. So that doesn't prove anything. You know, and like I've always said a million times, follow the money. And this would come out of Goats and Men, Joe Stack's 9/11 NSA and Homeland Security related defense contractor clients. The software programmer believed to have crashed his plane into the Echelon building in Austin, Texas, reads like a guidebook to defense contractors with connections to 9/11, NSA, and Homeland Security. The FBI had his webpage removed. The screen message previously said the FBI had it removed from the internet, but of course the client list from the webpage had been archived, and the corporations on it, such as Interstate Electronics Corporation, which needed Mr. Stack's help on developing a GPS-based flight management system of all things. IEC is wholly owned subsidiary of I-3, which is a defense contractor, which obviously Homeland Security and NSA connections. There's also this report from Wade Madsen on OpDev News from an L3 consultant to the NSA who had watched a live feed of the first 9/11 plane impact as it happened. L3 is included in among corporations which were investigated by the SEC for unusual stock put options in relation to 9/11. Cylink Corporation, another on Mr. Stack's client list, had its chief executive officer, William Crowell, and he was the National Security Agency, worked there, several senior positions. So he was the director of the agency. You know, and this article goes on, more and more dirt. You know, and you could check it in the news section for February 23rd, 2010, right at the Harry Thomas Show archives at harrythomas.info. Everything I talk about is documented. I don't sit here and make this stuff up. I don't have the kind of imagination to even come up with this kind of madness. And again, we see CNN reporting pilots' friends were shocked. Stack was an easygoing guy. I can't believe it's the same person, says Rick Furley, an Austin musician who played in a band with Stack for a period more than 2 years ago. Stack played bass, the accordion, and sang for the band. According to the band's website, Stack was very musical, and conversations with his bandmates typically revolved around music, not grievances he may have had. So, you know, his family says that this is out of order. You know, it just doesn't seem like him. They don't think it was him. He wasn't known for going around ratting around about the government. In fact, one of the reporters over at InfoWars, Rob Dew, has the same story. He said he played with Stack in a band, and he said, you know, there was no indication at all that this was had any part of his personality, which this here is starting to scream Patsy to me. So this has every indication of being another false flag, that they're just using this guy, and that's it. He was just somebody maybe that they couldn't keep a tight lid on, and they needed to get rid of. But anyway, this does seem contrived. They are using false flags. We know that for sure. Fox News reported February 11, 2010, Joe Biden rules out large-scale terrorist attack on U.S. Vice President Joe Biden made his latest eyebrow-furrowing prediction Wednesday night, declaring confidently that another September 11-sized terror attack is unlikely in the U.S., despite signs that al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups are actively planning more attacks. Top intelligence officers told congressional lawmakers earlier this month that the terror network can be expected to try another attack in the next 3 to 6 months. But Biden, interviewed on CNN, downplayed the risk. Oh my God, they're setting something up, and I'm telling you what, they haven't been able to pull these attacks off because the alternative media, the truth movement in this country, the true patriots in this movement have been screaming bloody murder since 9/11. And they've been able to get past these little things and these little fear campaigns like swine flu and all this other crap. They really do, in order to further their failing agenda now. They're going to have to come up with something big. Says here, Mark Steinbaugh over at InfoWars.com wrote an article called Warning Signs of Impending Olympic Attack. And this is talking about what's going on right now in Vancouver. But they could actually use any international event. Says here, in my opinion, an attack during the Olympics, while it is being highly guarded, would be a perfect way to bring in the more police state, fully integrate the U.S. and Canada in a functioning North American Union, which would include Mexico, I would imagine. They're going to blame al-Qaeda for everything. I want to refer you to this article. He talks about the warning signs, all kinds of good information. Like I said, the meat and potatoes of this information is in the news section for these weekly shows. You could go back in the archives and find a wealth of information. It doesn't matter if it happened last month, 6 months ago, a year ago, or 5 years ago. It's all pertinent to understanding the New World Order's plan. The UK Daily Mail reported Gordon Brown's plan for a global bank tax is a step closer. In an interview with the Financial Times today, the Prime Minister indicated that he believes opinion has shifted in favor of coordinated action as a result of U.S. President Barack Obama's move last month to impose a $90 billion levy on Wall Street banks. I am interested in the way supporting is building up for an international action, Mr. Brown told the Financial Times. And this Brown, man, he's a proud globalist. You can go to the New World Order section over at harrythomas.info and find all kinds of videos of him talking about the New World Order and a global new deal and all this other crap. And him right along with Hillary Clinton and Bushes and everybody else. You know, check out Bill Clinton's speech about the New World Order. Very interesting stuff. Citigroup warns its customers it may refuse to allow withdrawals. Now, we see what they're doing, that they're trying to push for mayhem. You know, they know people are on edge. Why would they do something like this? This was reported by the Business Insider, John Carney wrote, the image of banks locking their doors to keep customers from making withdrawals during a bank run is what immediately came to mind when we heard that Citigroup was telling customers they had to prevent that it has the right to prevent any withdrawals from checking accounts for 7 days. Whatever the explanation, it doesn't exactly inspire confidence in Citi's stole rights. But it's hard to believe that a bank would be sending out a notice like that on its statements. I can believe it. Because they're pushing it. They're setting it up. They want to create chaos. Because you get order out of chaos. And there's a great book out on the website. You can check that out, too. Order out of chaos. That's Paul Joseph Watson's book. And that's how they're going to bring in the New World Order. It's the total Helgarian principle. And that's exactly how they've been running it for an awful long time now. An awful long time. And it's time we start informing people about it and about what's going on. Because we're late in the game now. We ain't got time to play games. You know, we got to expose this for what it is. Get this information out about alternative media, about what's going on over at Fearless Broadcasting at 12160. Get involved. Check it out. Network with other people. Get involved in your local communities with this information because that's where we're going to win the fight. We're very diverse. We're very spread out over, around the world. You know, and we are winning. We are pushing back their agenda with this. That's why they're coming after us so hard on shutting down this internet. Skywatch Canada reported intelligence community sets precedent for exterminating U.S. citizens. In the spring of 2009, the Department of Homeland Security published their domestic extremism lexicon. This document expanded the scope of the DHS mission from hunting Islamic suicide bombers and mass murderers to targeting anti-abortionists from America. Tax protesters, constitutionalists, and any other enemy of the state. This in and itself was shocking enough, but when combined with DHS's Project Endgame, it's clear that the policy of the Department of Homeland Security is to round up illegal immigrants and potential terrorists, domestic extremists, and lock them up in detention camps built by Halliburton subsidiary KBR. That's Kellogg, Brown, and Root. And I've reported on this before. When a government is given permission to exterminate its opponents without real trial and real evidence, a new precedent is set. And we've seen this under terrorism. The broad definition of terrorism is used in the Patriot Act. It's unconstitutional. No, they can come into your house, take you away, not tell you where you're going. You get no lawyer, no phone call. Your family is not told anything. This is the same stuff. That's Nazi Germany. This is a continuation of what we're doing in Nazi Germany. That's what this New World Order is. It's horrible. Newsweek reported, Bush lawyers said president could order civilians to be massacred. The chief officer of Bush administration's torture memo told Justice Department investigators that the president's war-making authority was so broad that he had the constitutional power to order a village to be massacred. You know, and the Bush administration, as everyone is, it's well known, they're involved in all kinds of torture, all kinds of atrocity, war crimes. We're talking about total treason. We're talking about traitors to this republic. And all this stuff that they've been setting up is all heading toward a big brother police state-controlled society. You know, exactly what I've been talking about. A microchipped one-world government. CNET News reported Fed's push for tracking cell phones. The Obama administration has argued that warrantless tracking is permitted because Americans enjoy no reasonable expectation of privacy in there, or at least their cell phones whereabouts. U.S. Department of Justice lawyers say that a customer's Fourth Amendment rights are not violated when the phone company reveals to the government its own records that show where a mobile device placed and received calls. This is a critical question for privacy in the 21st century, says Kevin Bankston, an attorney at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, who will be arguing on Friday. If the courts do side with the government, that means that everywhere we go in the real world and online will be an open book to the government, unprotected by the Fourth Amendment. You know, the war continues. We are under attack. Our Fourth Amendment rights are under attack. They're trying to say that you have no reason to feel secure in your being at all. Says here, Big Brother not just spying on school children through their laptops. Federal lawsuit brought against the district for covertly monitoring students and families in their homes. And I remember reporting on this a few years ago. These Acer laptops and other brands, they have software in there where they can come in and just turn on your stuff and everything else and record what you're doing in your living room. There's all different kinds of ways they do this, through cable boxes. You think it's a sham. Tell you what, do a Google for, I want to say shadow government, but I don't think it is. I think it's secret government. Either one. There's a new movie out. Check it out. It covers everything about Big Brother and what they're doing. And I remember reporting on this. And that's what they do. And Revelant Knowledge, I know, is one of the programs. Do a search on your computer. If you've got a program installed there called Relevant Knowledge, totally delete it. I deleted it. It did nothing. It didn't harm my computer or anything. But I do believe that that's the program that they're using. Because I have a built-in webcam and speaker laptop or microphone laptop. The scandal surrounding kids being spied on at home via webcams and laptops provided by schools extends further than just school children. 4 years ago, Google admitted that it was implementing similar invasive surveillance technologies that would target all Americans. At a school district in Philadelphia, they face a class action lawsuit after allegedly issued laptop computers to 1,800 students across two high schools and then used concealed cameras within the machines to spy on the students and their parents without their knowledge or consent. And this is not the only place. It's going on all over the place. In 2006, Google announced that they would use a built-in microphone to listen in on users' background noise. Be it music, your phone going off, the TV's turned on, off, the PC identifies it using fingerprinting and then shows you relevant content, whether that adverts or search results or a chat room on the subject. And that was reported by the Register. Now, there you go, relevant content. Now, remember what I was just saying about relevant knowledge. Do a search for that. I believe that is the program. Google's recent announcement that it will work with America's well-known spy agency, the NSA, which was embroiled in warrantless surveillance scandal during the Bush administration, only heightens concern that Big Brother will have virtual wiretap into every home that has a computer. Additionally, by virtue of the fact that the webcam can be remotely activated at any time, which means you don't even have to be on there. They can just come in and activate that. Start seeing what you're doing. And here's a case in Pennsylvania where the plaintiffs also note that in their complaint that the laptops were issued routinely used by students and family members while at home, that many of the images captured and intercepted consisted images of minors and their parents or friends in compromising or embarrassing positions, including but not limited to various stage of dress or undress. So this is sick. This is an abomination of everything that is right. You know. Oh, my God. The plaintiffs are seeking damages in respect not only a violation of the Fourth Amendment of the United States, but also a host of other federal and privacy laws, including the Electronic Communications Privacy Act, the Computer Fraud Abuse Act, the Stored Communications Act, Civil Rights Act, and the Pennsylvania Wiretapping and Electronic Surveillance Act, and Pennsylvania Common Law. But according to globalists, you know, the Fourth Amendment don't apply to this. This is what Obama says. This is incredible. It says here, the Wall Street Journal reported Ann Zimmerman wrote, "I spy a market for kids. The spy video tracker. There's a big push on toy makers to appeal to kids. A kid can program the tracker to snap a picture of his sister talking on the phone while she is supposed to be doing homework, then drive the car to his parents, rat her out with the pre-recorded message." You know, this is more of this snitch society stuff that I've been talking about. This is incredible. And this is what divides communities, you know, because the globalists know your enemy, and they know, and this is what they know about us, is that communities divided can't fight back against them. And this is how they do it. You're snitching on your neighbors. You don't trust nobody. Everybody's a terrorist, part of Al-Qaeda. You know, everybody is in their house now watching TV, playing video games. Nobody interacts anymore. And they know that this is communities divided. And they can take advantage of this. Now, we've got a de facto military occupation of Pennsylvania. WPXI in Pittsburgh reported on February 9th that the Army National Guard will remain in the city indefinitely in response to the weather. Now, I reported on this. This represents the de facto military occupation of Pennsylvania and martial law. Martial law is defined as the imposition of military rule by military authorities on an emergency basis when the civilian government or civilian authorities fail to function effectively. This is apparently precisely the case in Pennsylvania, where it remains to be seen if the military or civilian government is in control there. Well, yeah, if they're on the streets, they're performing duties. Now, we just heard, you know, O'Reilly earlier in the show talking about how it's perfectly fine during weather problems, during weather emergencies. I can see if we're being attacked by a foreign enemy and they're invading our shores. Get at them, all men on the deck. Yeah, no problem at all. I've not got a problem with military, you know, performing their duties to protect us at all. But this is not the case. This is incrementalism. It says here, note that the soldier near the end of the video, there's a video up there in the news section, he's identified as an Army specialist, not National Guard. You know, so we have Army on the streets. In Pennsylvania, other eastern states hit by historically severe snowstorms now experiencing military activities under the guise of helping citizens. Or maybe that should be civilians. Now, they've been setting this mindset for a while, too, always referring to us as civilians instead of citizens. We are American citizens. We are not civilians. We are not anything, a group of people to be controlled by a military action. We are the citizens of that military. We are not civilians of a military operation. There should be no military operations performed on their own people. Anywhere. Not just here in the U.S., but anywhere. That's why it is good to get over there at Oath Keepers and check out what they got going on there, especially if you're part of military or police. Troops randomly patrol streets in Pittsburgh, respond to domestic disputes. And I reported on this, but I'm covering it again. Americans are once again conditioned to accept the sight of troops patrolling the streets and dealing with domestic law enforcement issues under the pretext of National Guard soldiers helping recovery efforts after a deluge of snow that has hit the East Coast. And they're helping authorities brutalize innocent people during the G20 summits, too. And that's where they broke out the LRAD sound weapons. I've covered it before. It is important to emphasize that the fact that not only a National Guard being deployed on a regular basis around the country on virtually any pretext, battle-hardened active duty combat soldiers are also being used in humanitarian exercises under the banner of NORTHCOM. And this NORTHCOM includes Canada, which means we have foreign troops performing domestic duties on our land. And whether you live in the United States or you live in Canada, do you want foreign troops performing domestic duties? If you're Canadian, do you want American soldiers telling you what to do on your homeland? I would hope not. And I certainly do not want Canadian authorities or troops or anything performing domestic duties, you know? Especially under the guise of NORTHCOM. The Raw story, Daniel Tenser reported, Virginia delegates passed bill banning chip implants as mark of the beast. On Wednesday, Virginia House of Delegates passed a bill that forbids companies from forcing their employees to be implanted with tracking devices, a move most likely to be applauded by civil libertarians. My understanding, I am not a theologian, but there's a prophecy in the Bible that says if you'll have to receive a mark so you can buy and sell things in end times. And quoted at the Washington Post, some people think these computer chips might be that mark. There's a lot of concern over this, and I did cover this before too, but it's very important. Very important to see what's going on here. They're worried about, you know, that they're going to implement this in driver's license, employee ID badges. The FDI has already approved this. And, you know, and I want to bring that up again because I talk a lot about how the elite, this inbred group of bloodline families, eugenicists, they're part of the supremacy movement, really. They think they're the ones that are supreme to everybody else, you know, and that they hold all the power, they have all the money, and they believe they can do whatever they want. And we are saying no, we are resisting the New World Order. You know, and there's plenty of people all around the world doing this, you know. And we get together, we share ideas at different social networks, and we encourage everybody to put their voice in. Because the more voices we have, the louder we are. That's why fearlessbroadcasting.info is important. That's why all the information, the truth that you can find over at 12160.org is important. That's why it's important that people tell people about this show and tell people about harrythomas.info, where there's literally years and years of information to be watched, read, gone over, researched, reviewed, listened to, etc., etc., etc. You know, because we are in this fight for humanity. We are in this fight for our lives. And we're not going to stop. Just like the elite are trying, the global elite are trying to divide and conquer us, we're letting people know of their plans. We're letting people know of their agendas. You know, get over there and check out different points of view. Check out the Canadian Perspective Northern Front. Check out Simple Christianity with Mr. Jones over there, you know. Oh, yeah, at the end of the show, I'm going to play a song done by a 12160.org member called Grief Stricken. So afterwards, stay and listen to that. Check that out. Know your enemy. You know, if you know things you don't know about, check it out. Check out the new show, Esoterica, okay? If you don't know what that means, check it out. It's all about to do with exposing the occult and the symbolism and all the different modes of control that they use to implement this order, to actually get people to work against themselves. They've got us working against ourselves, implementing their one-world government. And we are saying no, we're resisting the New World Order. I got a whole bunch of stuff coming out. Check out Fearless Broadcasting. I got some news coming out there in between these shows. I'm going to be getting another show in not too long from now. And I'm going to try to at least get three in a month of the full show of the Harry Thomas Show. Plus, I've got Life on the Outside episodes coming up once I can work out some technical difficulties. And you got Fearless Broadcasting News, all these other shows. You've got stuff on shortwave over at Genesis Communications Network. Check out Infowars.com. Get involved in this Infowar because together we will make a difference. I want to thank you for listening, and we will be back next week to expose more of the New World Order agenda. Larry Thomas here, and I've been trying all different kinds of ways to get the word out about this New World Order takeover. And one of the ways is I've been putting the trying to get the show under 80 minutes so that it can be burned onto a CDR disc and shared with people in the community. So it would be a lot easier for people to do this. And since there was some extra room, I wanted to share with you what a member over at 12160.org did to contribute to this fight against the New World Order. And this is a song called Grief Stricken. This is done by 12160's very own Tara. And I think it's a very, very good song. I hope you enjoy it.
Veil of night, dancing in a golden palace, spotlight of blood, sweat, and tears.